start off with, I wanted to point out that there's a typo on the source sheet. The first source, Rashi, says it's from Shemot 21. However, it should read 19:17. That it's Perek Yud Tes, Pasuk Yud Zion, which says, V'yotze Moshe es ha'am likras ha'elohim min ha'machne v'yitzyatzvu betachtit ha'har. That Klal Yisrael stood betachtit ha'har, which Rashi comments, again in Source 1, the v'pshuto b'ragle ha'har. We stood at the base of the mountain, which makes sense, or literally the foot of the mountain. However, Rashi continues, Midrasho shenitla shahar mimekomo v'nichpa aleihem kegigis. We have a base, the Midrash Chazal teach that this signals to us that Hashem held the mountain, he ripped it up from its place and held it over them like a barrel. An idea which is probably familiar to many of us. The Maharal comments on this idea, this Midrash, not so much on why is Rashi bringing it, but what exactly it means. And he begins by quoting Tosfos. So in Source 2, Perek Rebbe Akiva, this is Gemara Shabbos, Daf, Peches, Amid Aleph, Hikshu at Tosfos. Tosfos have a difficulty, and they say, Hari Kavara Amru, Naase V'Nishma. At this point, chronologically, we had already said Naase V'Nishma, meaning to say we willingly accept the Torah. Lama Hutzarach L'Zeh, so if we already had willingly accepted it and communicated that to Hashem, why is he holding the mountain over us and forcing it upon us? Tutsu at Tosfos, so Tosfos give a teretz, a response, a resolution. Perhaps the tremendous sight of Matan Torah at Har Sinai, especially the Eish, the fire, would have struck fear in our hearts, and we would have gone back, we would have reneged on Naseh V'Nishma. Shiatzasa Nishmasa. At that point, the Gemara teaches, again in Peches, this time Amud Beis, that everyone at that point died and was brought back to life. But communicating that it was a shocking event. Vein dai tenochi noche beperush ze la sos kol zechus yisrael shekdimu nase lenishma la'ayin. I'm not really satisfied with Tosfos' answer, because it turns all of the merit that we created by saying nase v'nishma into essentially emptiness. What of it now? That now we've just turned our backs on that merit, and it's gone. And Shehula Dori Doros, and that merit, it wasn't just for that generation, that specific point in history, it was for all generations subsequent. And now, according to Tosfos' understanding, we were afraid, and we just wiped that merit clean, apparently. And so he gives an answer for Tosfos' approach. Ulai ha Tosfos severlu, perhaps Tosfos feel, I understand, the gave the machmas yirach azulham, that it was out of fear. It wasn't just that we brazenly reneged. Lo nechshav lechazar lema'ayit zechusam. And as a result of it being out of fear and not just brazenness, it's not turning our backs on it in the sense that it would wipe out that merit. So yes, we did need the mountain held over us at that point in time because of fear, but the merit created by reciting Naseh V'Nishma and accepting it willingly earlier on still exists. And now the Maharal is going to give his explanation. Aval ha'ikar ha'peirush asher nirei pashut. However, the real fundamental understanding appears clear. Kikaf aleihem ha'har kigigis lamar im lo tikablu ha'torah sham te kvor seichem. That the mountain was held over our heads to communicate, as the Gemara itself says, if you do not accept the Torah, this is where your graves will be. The mountain's going to drop on you, and you'll be buried within the mountain. Lamar ki ha-Torah hi hechrechit le-Kabbalah. The Torah is necessary, that it has to be accepted. Somebody must take it. It has to be in this world. Imelo yakablu a Torah, sham te kavor asam. And if you don't accept it, this is the end. Biyadua. And now he'll explain what that means. Dvarim amuchrachim lios hem chashuvim b'mala yoter. That things which are necessary and fundamental, they are more chashuv, more important. The example that popped in my mind was a load-bearing wall. That's sometimes when people do home renovations, there are certain walls that they cannot take down. They have to be there because it's bearing the weight of the roof and the floors above it. And so the Torah, in a certain sense, is he's describing it as that it can't be without that. The world cannot exist without the Torah. She'efshar mibaldem. Ve'ein kiyum le'nimtza b'zulasam. And reality just would not exist without these things. L'kach kafa lehem ha'har k'gigis lo'diya malas ha'Torah. And so that's why the mountain was held over our heads, to demonstrate, to communicate that the greatness of the Torah. She'efshar mibalda. Klal, it is impossible for existence to be without the Torah. Vim lo haya osezei, and if Hashem had not done this, hayu omrim ki haTorah ein hachrechit leolam. People, presumably people other than Bnei Yisrael, would have said that the Torah is not absolutely essential for this world. Rak baratzon kiblo alehem, and the Jewish people accepted it, but they did it just because they wanted to. Vim lo kiblu, and if it were to have been that they did not accept it, lo hayu tzarichim, they didn't need to. What of it? Lekach haya Hashem yisbarach mefate umaratze osem kodim. Therefore Hashem, mefate umaratze literally would be seduced and kind of appeases, call Yisrael beforehand. Kasher rosha ikr nesina sa'aliyah de kfiya sahar hayu muchrachim lomer ki nesina ata muchrachet v'she'en lahem kiyum zulata. Therefore, Shem demonstrates through holding the mountain over our heads that the acceptance of the Torah, the giving of the Torah, rather, as the Maharal puts it, nitinata, is absolutely essential. And we saw that. That was the message. That's why the mountain was held over our heads. L'kach hevi sham, and therefore that's why the Gemara also teaches, al mamar ze, v'hi er v'evoker yom hashishi, that back in Sefer Bereishis, Parshas Bereishis, that when we talk about the sixth day, yom hashishi, hey yetzeira lamali, why is it not just shishi? Why do I need this extra hey here? V'lameh chehisna kadosh baruch hu yimaisa bereishis. This teaches that Hashem set up a condition with all of creation that she'im yikablu Yisrael haTorah yachzru haolam letohu vivohu. That if the Jewish people did not accept the Torah, the world, all of existence, would go back to nothingness and to naught. V'zeh hamamer ba leferish ma shekafa aleihem lama shekafa aleihem hara kagigis. And this statement in the Gemara there is not just a tangent. It's actually coming to explain the previous part about the mountain being held over our heads, that it's lomar ki nesinas haTorah hi muchrechet, that the giving of the Torah is an absolute necessity. It has to happen. And that's what we're being told. Not so much that he seems to be framing it as not so much that we're being forced, but rather we're being taught of the necessity of the Torah. And therefore, that would not necessarily negate Naaseh V'Nishma. We could still have Naaseh V'Nishma and the merit created through that and the willing acceptance, and have the realization and the knowledge that our acceptance of the Torah is an absolute necessity. V'filo hachi kama Rava. And nevertheless, Rava in the Gemara says, Mekan muda'a Rava l'oraisa. Here, from here, this teaching that it was held, the mountain was held over our heads and we were ostensibly forced to take the Torah, is a tremendous caveat for the Torah. I mean, a caveat here meaning that it's a pischon pei, or a way out. Rashi explains that if we were to be called into judgment, presumably before Hashem, we could say, well, you forced me to take it and it was under duress and you can't punish me. I didn't really accept it, so I can't be held liable. Meaning to say, you forced me to take the Torah. Even though, according to what I've just said, we didn't actually go back on Naaseh V'Nishma. Nevertheless, the simple fact is, the mountain was held over our heads. We were forced. And since it was forced, we have this open door to try and get out of judgment. And now he's going to explain further, because the Gemara has a response to Rava's line there, and he's going to explain it in light of his comment and expand. V'kamar dehadar kiblu aleihem b'yamei Ahasuerus. And the Gemara responds, well, we accepted the Torah upon ourselves in the days of Ahasuerus, in the days of Esther, where in Megillas Esther it says, Kimu v'kiblu. Kimu masha kiblu kavar. We upheld and really kind of brought into a full sense that which we had accepted, perhaps in a less than full sense, previously. And we'll see if the Maharal would actually agree with the way I just translated that. Pirush shahay mekabli melehem mitzvah achas mimitzvos haTorah. That is to say, we accepted upon ourselves one mitzvah from the mitzvos of the Torah. Dehi kriyas Megillah. That specific mitzvah was the reading of the Megillah. V'afo gav de'ein kan ones. Even though there is zero duress or force here, v'ema atzmam kiblo alehem, and we accepted it upon ourselves willingly, kevan de'ema atzman hiskima lasos mitzvazos, since we ourselves agreed and decided to take upon ourselves this mitzvah, zehu kabbalas kol haTorah. This is the acceptance of the entirety of the Torah, not just kriyas Megillah, but the entire thing. Why or how? She'ech yosifu od mitzvah. How could we add on a mitzvah? Im rishonim hem muchrachim aleihem. If the previous ones were forced. The way I understood this was that you can imagine somebody in high school where they get a bunch of homework dumped on them, and it's essentially forced. What is the likelihood that they're going to willingly add on to their assignment? But if they have an assignment and they agree to take it, and it's something that they're legitimately interested in and really want to explore, it makes a lot of sense that maybe they would add on to it. Leficha, Kabbalas Kriyas Megillah, he Kabbalas HaTorah Baratzon. Therefore, that is the acceptance of the entire Torah willingly. Now here, in the Machon Yerushalayim printing, with the footnote quotes Tiferes Yisrael, which I think states this same idea from the Maharal. It's just from one of his other svarim. Again, the Tiferes Yisrael Perek Lamed Beis, in a slightly clearer fashion, where he describes in the times of Achashverosh, we accepted this one mitzvah miratzonam from our willingly. Who forced them to take on Kriyas Megillah? All the more so previous, the earlier mitzvahs that came before Mikra Megillah. The end proves the nature of the beginning. That since we took it willingly at the end, that demonstrates that the beginning had to have been willingly as well. Otherwise, it just would not have integrated with the previous acceptance. Now, continuing with line 19. Im lo hayazeh, and if we had not accepted Kriyas Megillah willingly, hayamodar rava lomar ki kabbalas haTorah behechrach, then yeah, that idea of it being an open door to get out of punishment would have been true. Vadari mechracham in be'etzem. Now, furthermore, things which are absolutely essential or are forced, things that are forced, are not intrinsic. They're not really a part of us. He'll give an example in a minute. Therefore, if we were to transgress the Torah, we could say, well, we or others could say that, you know, the Torah wasn't really fit for the Jews on a fundamental level. Because, again, forced things are not intrinsic and are not connected with the recipient of that force on a deep level. And since the Torah wasn't really connected to us on a deep level, then it wasn't fit for us from our side of the coin. And there would be no surprise if we went against the Torah, because there was never a true connection. It never really lined up with who we are. Because if a stone doesn't stand floating in midair, there's no surprise there. It's just against nature. It's nature. And the only way it could stand up in the air is if something is forcing it. Somehow you got it to stand up in midair. And so when Klal Yisrael or Machadesh created this new mitzvah, I created Megillah, as near ki ator lo haya ba'ones klal v'davar hecharach, it was clear at that point the Torah was not forced upon them. It was not accepted under duress. Ki rak ki ator lehem be'etzem gam kem. Rather, the Torah was also an intrinsic part of who they are. Meaning, if it's something that I absolutely must take because I see that the world will not exist, it's required that I take it, that in a sense is forced. But now that we're saying it's an intrinsic part of it, it's a part of me, then that would seem to say that I am not me without the Torah. I'm not complete without the Torah, and we, as individuals and as Klal Yisrael, are not complete. We can't be us without the Torah. Bafo gav shayu mukhrachim tchila zeh kamo shamarnu l'mayla ki e afshar zulas zeh. It was just impossible to not have the Torah. Aval haTorah gam ken mitzad Yisrael, she Yisrael roy lehem haTorah mitzad atzmam. It's not just that we had to preserve creation, but also because it was fundamental to us. It was fit for us fundamentally. Hari haTorah li Yisrael mitzad hano sein shirotzei bizeh. The Torah is for the Jewish people. Li Yisrael, it belongs or is to the Jewish people. From the perspective of the giver, umitzad hamikabel shehem Yisrael, and on the side of the recipient, from the perspective of the recipient, i.e., us, the Jewish people, v'zei nirei kasher kiblu aleihem mikra megillah, and this was apparent when we accepted upon ourselves mikra megillah. Hinei haTorah lehem mitzad atzmam, v'ein lo marsha haTorah hu eino Yisrael rak mitzad echrechi, v'ein zei kach pirush divrei chachamim. Again, it's the mountain being held over our heads demonstrated the absolute necessity of Torah to reality. And now, us coming and accepting Mikra Megillah many generations later is not a retroactive reacceptance, as one might understand it, but rather it's just a realization or revelation that initial or a communication that initial acceptance was truly willing. Because without the Torah, we wouldn't have been us. We wouldn't have been complete. And presumably there was a realization of that. He continues on a little bit further, and I even cut out a chunk, but we'll stop there for that piece and continue on to the next piece, where Rashi, now the citation here is correct. It's Shmos Chaf, Pasuk Aleph, 20, verse 1. This is the opening of the Aseret Dibros, and the pasuk describes that Hashem spoke es kol hadavar ma'ele, all these words. And Rashi states, melamed she'amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Aseret Dibros b'dibor echa. This teaches that Hashem spoke all of the Ten Commandments in one single statement, one utterance. Ma she'efshar la'adam lo marken, something that a human being could not do. In ken matam tamad lomar, and if that's the case, why does the Torah go and state od anochi velo yiyeh lecha, the first two commandments over again? It would be sufficient just to have this verse that we're dealing with. Shechazar ufeirish al kal dibor dibor bifnei atzmo. So we went and repeated each of these on its own, presumably because of their significance. The Maharal is going to deal with the first part of Rashi. So Maharal in source 4 on the back. I have the printed copy. Melamed she'amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu kol aseret hadibros b'dibor echad. Afo gav shelo hivinu b'dibor zeh klum. And even though, obviously, Hashem said 10 statements all in one utterance, we would have zero way of understanding that. That's not how language works. Amar b'dibor echad. Nevertheless, he did say it like that. Lomar ki kol haTorah inyan echad b'dibor echad. And the reason they did something which, in terms of the words themselves, communicated nothing, that act did communicate to us that the entire Torah is one single entity and one dibor, one statement. He'll say a little later that it's nekuda achas, that it's one point, it's one single entity. Try kol haTorah hem yotzi me'aseret hadibros. Look, the entire Torah flows out of the Aseret HaDibros. Kamoshi Yisbara b'Parshas Mishpatim, as will be explained in Parshas Mishpatim. Presumably he's going to have a comment on the Rashi that quotes Rav Sadia Gaon, that all 613 mitzvos are hinted to within the Aseret HaDibros. Ve'elu Aseret HaDibros nemru b'dibor echad. And these 10 statements were stated in one utterance. Hari kol haTorah dibor echad. So if all 613 are packed into 10, and that 10 is packed into one single utterance, then everything is one single utterance, one single entity. And one might think, well, okay, what difference does it make if it's 613 utterances or 10 utterances or however many? What difference does it make? The moral continues, and nafkamina b'zeh, and the practical difference would be, she'im amar shekol ha-Torah kula mina shemaim, that if somebody were to say that the entire Torah is divine, chutz me'pasuk zeh she'amro Moshe ma'atzmo, with the exception of such and such a pasuk, which Moshe said of his own volition. Hu beklal ki davar Hashem baza. This would be considered in the category of somebody who's disgraced the word of Hashem. V'kofer b'chol haTorah, and you've denied the entire Torah by denying that single pasuk. Ki ma'achar shekol haTorah kula dibor echad, hu, ve'ein zeh below zeh, nothing can in the Torah can exist without other parts of the Torah. Dehi kamo nekuda achas, and it's like a single point. Everything's packed into that one single point. Ein la miktas, there's no partial Torah. V'im kofer b'miktas, and so if you deny a part of it, hu kofer b'kol haTorah, then you've denied the entire Torah. V'ken isa b'perek chelik, and so he references the Gemara in Sanhedrin. And he continues. V'od yesh b'zeh b'masha amar kol aseret HaDibros b'dibor echad ne'emru. There's an additional lesson that we can derive from the fact that all Ten Commandments were stated in one utterance. Hu more al hamala hagadola shel Torah, and it teaches something about the tremendousness of Torah. Shadavar hazeh nireh v'noda, it's clear, certainly to him, maybe not to us all the time, shekol od sheyisrach hekadavar milmala v'yavo le'olam atachton yipareid v'yischalek, that the closer something is to the loftier parts of existence, the further something gets from the loftier parts of distance and of existence and comes into our world, the world that we know and experience, the more fragmented it becomes. It undergoes some sort of schismogenesis. Ki olam elyon nikra olam ha'achdus. The upper supernal world is called the world of unity. Kol shekarov el Hashem yisbarach, and the closer it is to Hashem, hu echad ha'emes, who is the true unity, the true one, hu yoter ba'achdus, the more unified and less fragmented that entity is. Sh'olam hazeh ha'shafil, because our lowly world, the world that we, again, know and experience, ha'rachok me'ito yisbarach, which seems distant from him, who olam hanifrad is the world of being broken apart, of distance, of fragmentation. HaTorah nitna mepiv yisaleh, and the Torah was given from his mouth. Ve'ein davar krov el echad rak haTorah, and there's nothing that's close like the Torah to Hashem. Lefichach nitna haTorah mepiv b'dibor echad legamrei. Therefore, the Torah was given from his mouth, in one utterance, completely one utterance. Lefi shiroi el haTorah achdus lefi medregas malata. Because that's fitting for the Torah, that it should be that level of achdus, of unity. Lekach nemru aseret HaDibros b'dibor echad, and therefore the aseret HaDibros were stated in one single utterance to communicate that lesson to us. V'zehu pirush ha'amiti kasher tavin v'hu emes. The Torah is fundamentally, even though it seems huge and sometimes almost impossible to learn and to really grasp, at the same time, while that can be experientially true, what the Maharal is communicating here is that it really is a single point, and that since it's coming from the absolute unity, i.e. Hashem, in order to be that close and to have come from Hashem, it has to itself be a very high level of unity. It's obviously, I don't know if he's saying that it's the same level as Hashem, but it's certainly a very high level of unity. When we learn one chunk of the Torah, we are, in some way, shape, or form, gaining information about all other parts of the Torah. Have a great Shabbos.